Welcome to Illuminated, the 12 Months of I podcast. This month, we're delving into the theme of impact with our extraordinary guest, Christine Campbell Rappin, a business mentor, consultant, and owner of Clear Acceleration, Inc. Christine has a no-nonsense approach to helping business owners achieve consistent client growth by improving conversion rates. Christine believes business growth can be elegantly simple, though not effortless. With experience working with over 400 companies and generating over $1 billion in revenue, she focuses on the three non-negotiable business foundations every entrepreneur needs to create a client growth engine. So join us as we explore the transformative impact Christine has had on countless entrepreneurs and learn how to create real growth in your business. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is going to be an awesome conversation.
Well, what's so interesting is I can't even remember how we got hooked up, but I saw you possibly on some webinar and I was like, I need to know that lady because she definitely is impactful when it comes to helping entrepreneurs. Can you give me the kind of the elevator pitch of what you do, and then we can dive right into what impact means to you?
100%. So I am a business mentor and a business strategist, and I basically am your wing woman to help you figure out how to connect the essential business elements you need to actually be not just in love with the idea of being a business owner, but actually creating a successful business that you believe feels like oxygen to you. So my skill set's actually connecting the marketing, the sales, and the operations so that you have this consistent business instead of the 3 a.m. nightmare wondering where the heck is my next client coming from. And the plot twist is I never set out to be a business mentor or strategist. I've supported a lot of people, which led to people asking me for coffee or glasses of wine and saying, what gives? Because you seem to breathe this and I seem to be stuck in quicksand and this is killing me. And I'm like, it's killing me watching you. Let's fix this. That's how it all happens.
Well, that's what's so interesting about you. You just have this passion. And I think that one of the things for me that's impactful that has really worked has been because I am passionate about what I do. I've realized that I can't sell someone else a service if I don't believe in it. So I would love to delve in really into, you know, you started with, we talked about the three kind of pillars. Can you describe what those are?
Yeah, and this is something that people, it's so simple, but honestly, you probably skated right past it. The first thing that is so important is that you know who your next client, buyer, or customer is. Okay, not who you're currently serving, not who you've served in the past, but the ability to actually identify in the crowd, oh, they're my next buyer. And this is about not niching. It's about understanding a pivot point. I call it a moment of intersection, because if you can see it, spot it, and identify it, it's up to you to then start moving, because they are in a spin. And your job is to intersect the spin. That's number one. Number two is you have to have a game plan to move somebody who's in a spin from I'm curious to a paid client. And that is strategy. Those are some big, very simple questions that you need to nail, because truthfully, the answer is not another shiny object. All the tactics work. The problem is if the tactic isn't working for you, it's you have no game plan to use it and you don't understand how it connects. And so getting this game plan is key. That's pillar number two. Number three is you have to understand that value is created in the eye of the buyer, not justified by you and your uncertainty about what's going on. And so you need to have two pieces of the equation. It's like two sides of the coin. What moves them, because it's important and a result that's non-negotiable, you need to speak to that because it's the result that will create movement. And you need to understand that you have to be seen as the must-hire choice, not just a likable expert. And so many people go, oh my God, that means I have to sell something. Yes. Certainty that you know how to create the result, not only for yourself. I mean, it's great that you know how to do it, but that you can guide somebody to get it for themselves, because that's what they're paying for. And so you have to have certainty in your capabilities and your abilities, and you have to have the leadership to create an offer that gets to yes.
Wow. That's And all three are very important. And I would love to kind of discuss a little bit about how you get there and create that impact where you're not just getting the next sale, but you're getting the next 10, and also how that next one can help you to get those, like referrals and creating that base of people who can actually be all your next customers. As you know, when we met and where I am right now is we are, you know, with Versatour, we're coming out with our new platform, which for me, believe that it will be client, you know, client driven, client sales. People want this, but you know, I believe it. Now my job is to get everyone else to believe it. And how does the impact of what, you know, what I'm doing, or as someone who is an entrepreneur, we have limited time. We have families. We're trying to create, you know, helpful practices for people, but we're also drowning ourselves. How do you create impact in a world where you're just like drowning?
Well, here's the answer: is you do less. And this is so controversial, and I know it blows people's minds, but you are doing all the wrong things for finding your next client. I'm not saying they're not important for other reasons, but if your number one goal is to find your next client, and that is seriously your number one responsibility, is not updating your website, changing your logo, writing copy, sending an email. It is picking up the phone and doing one of two things, because these two things are the most important responsibility you have as a business owner. So I want you to do this almost to the exclusion of everything else until you have a stable pipeline of leads that are the right people who have interest in what you want, can afford it, and are committed. So those two things are, first is nothing moves if you don't make any offers. And an offer is not a social media post, buy my stuff. Okay, it's just not. That's where a lot of people get stuck. But your number one responsibility getting out of bed every single day is to take the shot and make an offer. Because you do not control when someone says yes. You do not control a lot of the variables, but you control whether you show up and how many offers you're making, because business is math. If you make zero offers, you will see zero clients. You will not see 10. So that's number one. Number two is that you have to recognize that your number one responsibility is to find people to make offers to. Okay. That's really an obvious thing too, but that means you must get in front of more people, more ways, more often. And that's where tactic comes in. You get to choose how you grow your business. I like speaking. It is a highly leveraged strategy. I like networking. I like people, because in my business as a mentor, I am 100% certain you didn't get out of bed to hire me. So I leave my ego at the door, which means I have to spark a conversation. I have to live inside your brain. I have to be seen frequently in your space. So you start to go, this is an uncomfortable conversation because I have a gap I'm not solving. And you start to move towards my business ecosystem. And eventually you show up and say, I think I really need to hire you. And if I do my job well, that is what the engine is all about. So you have to recognize that do less. Overwhelm is a decision, because it means you're not making any decisions. And the way you get out of overwhelm is to say, I'm going to do something simple at the exclusion of everything else, because this is the piece of the first domino. And I think what's so interesting with people, I say to business owners, you know, my goal working with you is that we get to an 80% capacity filled with clients. Whatever that looks like for you, whether it's 5 clients, 500 clients, it's really choice. But our goal line is 80%, because at 80%, you have predictable cash flow, you can pay your team, you know what's predictably in your calendar, and you have 20% to play. That could be time out of your business. It could be play as in I'm launching something new. It could be I'm ready for an opportunity. But that way, you're never running at Mach 10, 12 months of the year, 365 days a year. But in order to get to 80%, here's my kind of guidance. Again, I'm getting kind of business mathy today. I want you to spend 90% or 70 to 90% of your available hours, however many that is, whether it's 1 hour a day or a full-time commitment, just focusing on building those two things, offers and the next visible client that you can see. Everything else is just a distraction. It's not helping you in the short term. And I need you to make money today, not someday. And once you start to build into that 80% capacity, you scale it back, but never below 50%. And a lot of businesses stop making impact because they stop doing the things that created the engine in the first place. But it needs fuel. And so even in a really busy period where you're like, I'm at 80%, I'm like 50% of your available hours are still dialed in to the two things that really matter. Because your responsibility as a business owner is to find clients.
Right.
Full stop.
It's so interesting you said that about, you know, that they get to the 80% or even they feel like they're at the 100% and then they just stop. Because we made it. And it's like, that's where innovation comes in. That's where the others come in. That's where people like me come in with what I'm doing, is because the others kind of just stopped. They stopped caring. They lost their vision. They lost their belief in the product that they were using. It got them there, but now maybe they're off doing something else. How do you stay hyper-focused when your brain, like as an entrepreneur, my brain is going a million miles an hour with new ideas. And how do you stay focused so you can be impactful for the original idea? And they do grow. Like I'm not working on what I did 4 years ago. It is essentially the idea. It's still the belief. It's still the same thing. And it's, you know, manifested. But how do you kind of stay super focused in order to make that impact?
I think you give yourself a free pass by not trying to do it by yourself, truthfully. And this is the piece, because you're right, your business evolves. But it's that 1%. And truly making big impact in the market is about 1%. It starts with the certainty that you will be here. And I'm really committed to my business because I said, I know I'll be here a year from now. I made a commitment in money for something that's happening 14 months from now, because I know I will be here. And I know that's a good opportunity for my business today. I probably think I wish I'd gone bigger, but I, you know, have nerves and I'm still wobbling and figuring it out. But the first thing is you have to have the commitment you're going to be there. And second part of that comes down to, I work with somebody who reminds me to take the damn shot. I pay a mentor who reminds me about the business foundations, because she's like, you know them and you're really good at telling other people to use them, but you are crap at doing it for yourself, because that is truthfully our blind spot. And so I think it is one of the smartest investments you have to have somebody who is 100% beside you, behind you, but asking, are your actions in congruency, i.e. are supporting what you said was important, or calling you on it quickly? And I said, I don't care whether you say we need a course correction or not. I'm just there to be the visible mirror that says, this action supports the goal. This one is a distraction. And I ask the question, as so does my coach, every month I'm reporting in, what are my business numbers? Which is actually a fifth pillar for me. I'm like, business is math. If you make zero offers, you get zero sales. Recognizing most offers don't get to yes. You know, the stats are a great salesperson would be 25 to 35% closing, which means a committed yes and money is exchanged hands. 58% of deals stall, not because we didn't solve the problem, but because no decision was made. So as a business owner, you cannot afford overwhelm, which I said is delayed decision-making, and your client can't afford your lack of certainty because they're already wobbling, which means they just don't do anything. And I've got to be sure I'll be here in a year when you're like, I should have probably moved with you, because I'm watching you move. And I'll say, no problem. I still have movement and you're going to roll the dice of whether I have capacity. But I'm sure. My certainty is sure. And that means I stay committed to somebody who I ask them, remind me to stay in my lane. And when new opportunities come, it's really a really, oh, so less stressful to have a sounding board that says, hey, I've got a 20% wild idea here. And they're great to flush ideas out, because no doubt, every business owner I know, when we're successful, we don't lack ideas. That's never the problem. Generally speaking, we're creators, we're sparking. And if we're breathing, it feels like oxygen is very effortless. The question is it a time for now? And I have a great idea book. I tell my clients, keep an idea book. You'll have a million ideas if you're moving. If you do not have ideas, it's because you're not moving. And that's a choice. Get out of your own damn way. But I have an idea book because I said, you know, I have CEO days in my business. I take time out, which is never about a current project. It is about blue sky thinking. It is about reconnecting to why I want to do this. It's assessing what I want to do with that 20% flex time. And I pull out my idea notebook and it said, that was a good idea 6 months ago. It's now the time. Nope, it sits. But it's going to be a great idea because it was a great idea. But I don't have to do it all. And I have somebody in my life that I pay and I spend time and I respect their opinion, because what they can see, I can't. Which is the way I sabotage, the way I get distracted, the way I delay a decision-making. And they're like, you're overthinking. How kills more businesses than anything else? Because you start to slow down or you start to delay decision-making. And that dramatically impacts your ability to create impact. And today I was ranting in my platforms about the fact of, if you need clients and someone comes to you, happened to be me in this instance, comes to you with an opportunity to get in front of more buyers, more ways, more often, your number one answer should have been yes. And 98% of the people I asked said, not now, maybe 2025. And I said, you're delaying this and you're assuming that I'm going to come back with another invitation. That's a gamble I wouldn't encourage you to make twice. And I'm not saying you have to do it all, but your goal in impact is to grow your capacity. And that does not for me mean working 100 hours a week. It means thinking through quickly with somebody who's got more experience, who can see a wider field and says, yes, no, move, and here's what to think about. And it also means having that flexibility built into my schedule so that I can flex yes quickly and that I can build momentum by staying in the movement. And that does mean I slow down and I speed up, but I'm in control of that. I'm just really sure I'm not quitting the game.
Wow. You like said so many things that are like going through my brain on like that delay. I talked to someone the other day and I was like, you know, I've been working towards this for so long. I shut off like the sales because I had to go make money in order to pay for this, which the brain went back on as an event planner. And I was getting clients that way. I had no problems getting clients as an event planner. I know my stuff. And I think knowing and understanding the other side of what I was doing is where my passion is. But now I have to kind of flip the switch back over. And I think that I tend to get caught up in, I don't know that very well. So I'm just going to keep taking classes and I'm going to get more information and I'm going to join this and I'm going to get other people to tell me what to do. And I'm going to fill my time with more and more and more information, which technically just delays me making decisions or doing the sales, which I know what to do. I have no problems getting people on the other side. But for some reason, this is like a hard task. Yeah. And I think it's because I think it's so close. And I think it when is. You have something that is such a heart thing for you that you are living and breathing, you're sometimes afraid to show.
Well, and it's easier to sell for somebody else than it is to sell for yourself. Like, this is just a universal thing we all are sort of perplexed by, but it is so true. And the interesting thing I always have said when I'm speaking, you know, there's only three reasons you don't have the amount of clients you want. And all three are solvable. So the ask is go solve them. Number one, you're thinking, I don't know how to do this. And that's, you know, very common. It's like, I don't know how to do this new thing because I've never done it. Welcome to like the world. Hello. You're normal. But I will tell you, there's never been a bigger time and place where knowledge was easily accessible. You can research this, but you're doing diddly squat with the research, which means you cannot do the research implementation by yourself. So don't, because you won't. You're delaying and you're costing your dreams because of it. So that's just solve the knowledge problem, which is I actually have enough knowledge. The biggest problem and the reason people hire me is like, it's not a knowledge gap, generally speaking. It's I can't connect the dots. I said, because you don't understand marketing, sales, and ops, and all three are necessary for a business. And that's why my strategy, ability to help you connect the dots and go, oh, it's not as scary as I think if I just start moving. I said, that's right, it's not. But let's talk about how these are connected. And I'm educating often on why this matters so that you can make quick, better decisions well after we've spent time together. And it's like, I can hear the questions you're asking. I can hear the solutions I'm looking for. I know where to go. And I have certainty in myself that I can navigate. But knowledge is something you can easily solve. I call always that the laziest excuse in business growth. The middle lane is when people say often, you know, I know what to do and I'm doing it, but it's just not as effective as I think I can be. And that's when I feel crappy because I'm missing my own expectations. And sometimes I'm also missing expectations of other people. And that's even worse. But truthfully, don't let that trash live in your head too long. But then that's because you don't know what triggers to adjust. You cannot see the forest for your tree. So you do need somebody you respect who will be a truth teller to help you see a blind spot you can't see. The faster you invest in that, the quicker you will get out of the spin and the less you'll start beating yourself up around it. The third thing is people say, I want it, but I'm not doing it. And I say, then you don't want it. Because what when you are in that place of self-sabotage, truthfully, it tells me you're not winning. And winning in your own game that you said you wanted to play in. So I rattle lots of cages, as you know, and say, you just don't want it. It is not up to your mentor, to your business bestie, to your guys in your mentorship program, to for your team to light your fire. A business owner is a decision that I light the fire every day. You can absolutely find fuel sources around you, but I'm really clear. I'm a resource for you. I'm not here to drag you. That's why I'm saying, what do you want? Here's the available options. What feels right for you? But until you move, you're better being in employment. Because they will let you, they will actually, you know, it's okay to go to an employer and say, just tell me what to do today. And you get motivated every 2 weeks because you have a steady paycheck. And if that is what you need, there's no problem. Go do that. And to your point about when you're building and giving birth to something new, I don't know why we kind of don't talk about this openly. It's okay to have employment or contracts and things you know you can do, like you in the event planning space, to fuel and fund what's coming. It's not a dent and I can do it myself. It's I was smart and I solved the problem. I give you kudos for that because truthfully, there is always a moment, business is math. Celebrate the money. And if it's easier to create money in something else, to fuel this, have a plan. Because going broke on the journey, emotionally, financially, with your fitness and your health, it all gets sacrificed, is a bum deal.
Yeah. And I think that you said something also earlier about, you know, you have your CEO days and I've actually learned this, which was, you know, on my days is, you know, and I try my best. Sometimes meetings get in the way or things like that, but having days that you can focus, like hyper-focus on things like my Mondays or marketing Mondays, like we're just really thinking about ideas, implementing, coming up with the campaign, where are we at, like marketing, and like Tuesdays are my CEO days. I use actually Fridays as my personal growth day, which that is reading books, going out to lunch with people who might be a resource for me, talking, getting a massage, things that really just, you know, get me into a place to have the ideas and the implementation. I do think that this whole entrepreneur thing has been a journey, especially as an older, over 40s is, you know,
hello.
Yeah, is not that they always say, you know, oh, there's not a lot of entrepreneurs, but, you know, over they're usually the most successful because they have the most to lose, I think, and they have the most passion.
That's right. Yeah, and you have to be the engine.
Exactly. You have, like, I've got two kids. My idea came for me because of the situation I'm in. I don't think that if this happened in my 20s, it would have been sustainable or anybody would have given me two cents.
Too many easy exits. Now it's right. Like, fuel's hot.
Exactly. So how do you stay in that, not, you know, don't get burnt out, but still be passionate, but still have your family. And like, I feel like there's so many things out there telling you what to do. And I feel like you just made it super simple, but how do you kind of get the habit of doing this every day?
Well, here's what I have observed. So I've worked with 400 plus businesses. Here's the difference of those that I think have success. And I mean, success as they defined it. And I said to my clients, I don't care what your goals are. That's your game. You just have to tell me what they are because I'm going to help you get there. And the thing I've observed is they're the most disciplined about their own vision. And everybody who starts to shift from a wobble to, I think I've got control of this. And that's what I think is a good barometer. I said, like, wobbles are normal. You never stop them. Whether you're building for the first six figures or you're multiple six or you're in the billions, wobbles are normal. It's a human experience. So I would rather ask, am I in control of the wobble or is the wobble controlling me? When the wobble's controlling me, I need a good inner circle to help me get out of my own way because I can't see it. And all I want to do is just keep spinning faster until eventually something generally catastrophic happens. And that's not necessary. So I've got good people that throw life rafts at me. Part of the decision is this simple ability to make a decision and to decide what you want, which I know sounds so simple. It is the key to everything. Because when you are clear what you want, it is up to you to decide what you say yes to and what you say no to. And the challenge for an emerging entrepreneur, I don't know that this dissipates, but it is for sure one of the hardest reasons why people bounce out of entrepreneurship is you have to invest because you believe in you. You have to prioritize the things that matter to you, and you do so unfiltered, with respect, and unapologetically. So when someone says, give up your Friday, which is your personal day, to get a health meeting, you made the decision to do that. That owns on you, not on them, because you could have held your boundaries and you didn't. And that's not a judgment. It's just a fact. I didn't hold my boundaries. I let it slide. And every business owner I know comes a time and place when they really are crystal clear, I'm doing this for me. And doing this for me is everything, because it is not going to be loved by everyone around you, but it's going to be the thing that fuels movement. And I know when I started my very first business, it was such an interesting comment and seeing it kind of also in hindsight, because when I made the decision to start a business, I did not get out of bed on Wednesday to do it. And an opportunity came my way through the power of my network, and I could see possibility. And by Friday, I had every excuse that everybody has, money, time, and I truthfully did have lots of other things that I already committed to. But I could hear myself in my head making that conversation. I was talking myself out of something. And I looked at myself in the mirror and said, who do I want to be? What do I stand for? And in a nanosecond, I'm like, not that. Mm-hmm. So I pinged a WhatsApp message, sent to this person, I'm in. And I went from brushing my teeth down to the kitchen. And my fiance at the time was making coffee. And I said, so by the way, babe, I've just started a business. He's like, you didn't what? Like, I just saw you brushing your teeth. Like, I don't understand. I didn't even know you were contemplating starting a business. Like, he's like, we're about to be married. We should have conversations about things like this. And I was like, okay, 48-year-old girl getting married for the first time. I'd never been married. I'm like, if there's rule books, please send me a copy. Feel free to autograph it if you like, but I need to know what the rules are. And he's like, okay, so you've done this. What does it mean for us? And I said, I will commit, and this was the early days, I'll commit 1 hour a day while I was working a heavy, big corporate job, traveling and now becoming a bonus mom and a dog mom and building a house. And I had a lot on my plate. And I said, you guys can watch Friends reruns for 1 hour a day, two episodes, and I will work on my business 1 hour a day. And that's a non-negotiable. And he's like, okay, we can do that. Mm-hmm. And I made those commitments. And then as my business started to grow and I moved into this mentorship space, because people kept inviting me to saying, how in the hell do you actually make money 1 hour a day? I'm like, oh, two things, grow your revenue and blah, blah, blah. But I ended up then starting to believe that I was doing my business for my family. Like, it was going to provide freedoms. I've got aging parents. That constantly hijacks my commitments, my priorities, and my availability. I had kids that were, you know, in sports and various things. My husband doesn't have beautiful health, so we're constantly navigating interruptions. And I started to believe this very popular, accepted story that I was doing it for other people. It was during COVID. My husband was sharing an office with me, and he's like, I need to stop you. I just heard you say something after the call. Look at your vision board. 5% of that is family. And it's not that we don't mind we're being 5%. You do this not for us. You do this for you. And who you are in the being of this role is everything for you. It's oxygen for you. It's essential for you. And we love who you are when you show up doing it for you. And it means we flex. It means you flex. And it means we accommodate each other. But don't believe for a second you do this for anybody else. Because truthfully, this is, I think, a big lie we business owners tell each other. Is I'm going to do this to feed my kids, to retire my family, to do all these extra things. And I said, you won't, because you didn't make any offers today. And I'm going to be the extreme example. Because if you really needed money and you had a habit you needed to fix, it's amazing how much cash they can create.
Oh,
and you didn't make an offer today, and yet you told me you needed to do that for somebody else. I said, no, you need to do it for you, because how you see yourself in the mirror matters most. And I happen to be someone of faith. So I said, you know, at the end of my day, I always look in the mirror, and I have to hold my own, not look how I looked outside, but I hold my eye to eye and say, did I show up for my potential today, or did I settle for my habits today? And I want to know that when I get to the end of my journey, I rose to the potential I was capable of. And that means I learn to say yes to things. And I learned to say no. And when I have said something that is not maybe in alignment of my number one goal, I am aware of the choice I made and I negotiate only with myself. And if I negotiate a lot of things for myself that don't support my statement of what I want, I have good inner circle that says, what's going on over there? When's the last time you took care of yourself? What are you eating these days? When's the last time you went to the gym? How come you're working so late? What's going on? And I have that accountability built in. But truthfully, the answer and the difference is you have to learn to do this because it feels like oxygen for you. And I tell every business owner, this will be one that probably lingers in your soundbite ear. If your business doesn't today feel like oxygen and a non-negotiable for you, why not? This is a choice you're making.
Yeah.
And you can do this because you're filling a need for something else, but just recognize you're going to have to maybe crank up your own propane because that fire is not very hot on its own.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that. I got like visibly like teary. I was interviewed, I won an award a few years ago and they said, well, why do you, you know, what's your why? And I said, it's my family. It's my kids. Thinking back on it, it's always been about fulfilling my dream that I put on hold. Woo. As I do get teary and we're in a podcast and we are not seeing me right now. So, I have really learned in the past year, especially was, you know, one thing I always ask myself per day is what am I creating today? Mm-hmm. How do I want to show up? Whether that's for me, for my kids, it has been a hard journey. The no, I am a person who's like, yep, I can help you. I've got it. A friend, and I think I was telling you before, my friend Christina, pretty much, she was our first guest. And she said, I come to you. I try not to come to you, even though you know usually all the answers that I need. She goes, because you've got a lot on your plate. And I was like, but I like to help you. And she was just like, but you need to take care of you. And I said, but I get fuel from helping you because that's what I do. And, you know, she texted me the other day. She's like, your kids are so lucky to have you because you think about everything for everybody else. And it struck me was I do that. But when did I really start making decisions for me? And just recently, you know, I made some really tough decisions on a lot of things I really want to do. I get that not just FOMO, but like the faux below, like fear of being left out to me is even worse than fear of missing out. Like just that, why wasn't I invited in that circle? Why can't I go? I want to be there. Oh, I was invited. I have to be there. I've had to turn down things, not just because of my business or my family, because of me. I can see things happening to me that were not a part of my vision. Meditation for me is a non-negotiable. That is going to happen every single day. I don't care where I am. I will find a spot and I will do it. My family knows that. But really that struck such a chord. I mean, you can probably see like tears coming down my eyes, but like, yes, a few years ago, everything's for my family. I do this for my kids. You know,
you're
I want
to do this for you. And it's okay to say that.
Yes.
And I said, this is the observation of hindsight. You know, I see it in every other person. And when my husband caught me on that, I want you to take your shoulders from down from around your ears where they've been living and say, I am actually doing this for me. And how I show up creates amazing ripples. And it does mean that you might lose some people along the way. And yet I would rather be recognizing I was gifted this life. I saw a vision. I had people around me that were going to support me. And they you know, were available to remind me. And the hardest decision I made in my business when I was first starting was an investment in a mentor. And it wasn't really a money issue. And I mean, it was $10,000. So let's just talk some numbers. It was a $10,000 investment. It was the biggest first investment I made in my business. And I was getting squirrely about it. And my husband's like, I never really see you rattle. What are you chewing on? Do you want to talk about it? And I'm like, I've got this opportunity to work with a mentor. And he's like, okay. Yeah, and how much is it? It's $10,000. He's like, oh, American? I'm like, yep. So let's add another 40% onto that. I'm Canadian. Yeah. So he's like, oh, he's like, is it a money thing? Like, do you need money? Like, you've never asked me for money in all of our years together, but is this a money thing? And I'm like, it's not really a money thing because I've got 2 degrees. I've spent money on education. I put my kids through school. I'm spending money on other people, not totally easy to do because they need it. And he's like, do you need it? I'm like, this is the problem. If I put this $10,000 down on the line, I'm saying that I'm committing to my priority. Mm. And that was the hardest thing for me to do. And he's like, this is still weird. I'm having this conversation with you, Christine. What advice would you give somebody else? I'm like, bet on yourself. He's like, this is a dumb conversation. I'm leaving the room. And he did. And I got out my credit card and I put the $10,000 on. That $10,000 also reminded me that I actually know what I'm doing. And it is about that stepping into it. And people have said to me for years, I'm watching your business and I'm watching you move and the certainty is growing. And I said, the certainty isn't like this newfound thing. It's a reminder. I'm doing this and it was always within me. And there are lessons I'm learning and every day I'm growing and I have this real commitment. But it is up to me to light the fire. And when I have days that take my lumps and, you know, clients have been gracious when we've had, you know, deaths in the family, other things that happen, real life happens, but I'm really mindful. They care about me as a human, but their results are what they care about because they're doing it for themselves. And I have to be then thinking in my mind, how do I create a business that can survive without me? How can I create the engine that this stays at 50% capacity and I don't crater my business? And I have to know that when I'm running, like the way I typically run, I need somebody else as a spotter. It's less painful. That doesn't mean that I still am not incredibly bullheaded and I do stupid things and detonate my own plans. But the truth is, you know, the moment you settle with, I want this, then the question is, what am I willing to do to get it? And it does not have to be a zero-sum game to make impact. I can be an amazing businesswoman and a great wife and a great stepmom and a great daughter, and I have lots of responsibilities. But I also, please do not put yourself last on the list of responsibilities. Because if you really want this to lift and have wings, you have to be the person taking the deep breaths and saying, I'm going to do this. Yeah. And the coolest thing about it, and you wobble because you're worried about, you know, your kids and whatever else is watching around you. There's moments that are so beautiful. And my daughter is not, the youngest daughter or stepdaughter is not really involved in the world of business. She's in the world of care. And she said to me one day, and she never asked me about my business. She never really is that involved. She just watches my Instagram and social media, but she's like, oh, whatever. That's just what she does. And she got a phone call one day she got called into her office by her boss. And she's like, oh my God, it's scary. And the question was being asked, are you related to Christine Campbell Rappin? Like, your name's Rappin. Are you related to her? And she's like, yeah, she's my stepmom. Her boss follows me on social media. And she's like, she is this and this and this and this and this. And I'm thinking, that's so cool that you get to like watch this business unfold. And, you know, my daughter initiated texting me, which is so rare. You know, getting her to respond on text is not an easy thing. And she's like, you're making an impact to people that you don't even know because my boss was asking if we're related. And I'm like, wow, you cast ripples, but you cast ripples when you show up. And it is about showing up and making those decisions to stay out of overwhelm, to equipping yourself with a good inner circle, and to be dogmatic, which is what matters most right now. Because sometimes it is, I need to be at that event. And other times it's, I need to go support this, so I will flex and be at the family event 3 hours later. But I am 100% aware that that's a decision I'm making. And I have a responsibility to enroll, which is going back to, you're selling all the time. Are you selling yourself into the dream? Or are you selling yourself out of the dream? It is possible for you if you saw it in your brain. Pay attention. You were never meant to go solo. But somebody needs you to be doing the thing you're doing because you have to be the beacon and the light for somebody else that's sitting further back in the dark for you. And you have to get out of your own way, which makes it non-negotiable. And when you're scary and wobbly, I honestly think, be a smart human being and hold somebody's hand. It's less scary when you've got somebody's hand to hold in life.
Wow. Like, I have to say, out of all the people I have talked to, you kind of like wrapped it all up. It's so incredible to listen to you. And, you know, I love that story because you don't realize sometimes the impact you are having you know, on the people around you that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty incredible. You know, like every day I hear my kids love me or hate me, or I'm the cool mom, or stop doing that because you look stupid or whatever. But on the bigger stage, when you put something out there that is your heart. And I talk about this to some people that I got really upset one day. I was a finalist for the Nashville Tech Council Startup of the Year. I have no idea. It was out of like 200 applicants. I sent it in. I didn't even know I would be, you know, three are chosen and you get to go to the awards. And I was wearing this gold dress and I was really proud of myself for being there for my company. And I post this picture of me kind of ready. And I got pretty much the most interaction off of that picture. And I said to someone, like, why can't these people show up when it's about my business? Why does it always have to be about what I look like? And because you're impacting someone with who you are. Now you just take that and that's what you bring into your business. They are not separate. They are because celebrating of you
pursuing your dream.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they're your next client.
Exactly. And trying to distinguish who your, you know, your first fans are, or the people who are going to always be with you and your advocates, is really important at an entrepreneur stage. And I feel like I feel like I'm always further along than I am. I'm always asking, what's my next step? And mentors are ridiculously important. And I appreciate what you've done for others. I appreciate conversations that we have had. And this is hopefully going to be ridiculously impactful for someone else's life. And we will make sure that you hear from them to let you know how impactful you have been. This was an amazing. I'm going to probably listen to this over and over and over. And just get it all out. I've been writing notes. I don't know if you know who's like, I've been like going over here writing notes, but I really appreciate your time, Christine. We will make sure that people can find you and get in touch with you and really give you feedback on this, because I think that your impact in the world, and we all have our own special impact, but being able to help people at the stages that they're at and to overcome some doubts and be an advocate is really important for people when they feel very alone in business. So thank you.
And I want you to hear this. My final thing to remind you is, do not put me or Debbie or someone else that you admire on a pedestal. Okay. We are icons. Yes. And that what I mean by that is we are bright lights. There's no competition for light. None in the world. None. It needs it. We are in a period of really dark things. But at the same time, it is up to you to recognize we are works in progress. We're still a hot mess. I always tell my clients, your goal is to look like a swan. You know, you may look graceful on the top, but you're paddling hard in life underneath. And it is the ups and downs that make you, and you can't pursue impact if you haven't had a lot of rough edges. Because it is not your ability to look like you've got it all together that's attractive. My clients know, hot mess behind the scenes. I'm like, I am running an event. I'm super scared. Please show up. And they're like, I can't believe you're begging me to show up. I'm like, I'm begging you, please show up. I'm really scared. We are works in progress. So are you. And the beautiful thing, and Deb, I've watched your journey since you and I first connected. And I think it was actually Holly that introduced us.
It was, yes.
It's amazing to watch you evolve. And someone had said to me earlier in this year when I was going through a bit of stepping into different places in my business. And they said, why are you looking at this as a reset or a redo or a reinvention? It's none of those things. It's an evolution. And they're stepping stones that you've gone through that make you a work in progress. And you're now ready to evolve, which means, yes, you are shedding things that leave space that feels scary. You create this vacuum and you start to wobble hard going, oh my God, was this worth it? But if you don't breathe and create the space, you can't say it's go time. And for you, the greatest thing I love to see is for you, it's go time.
Oh, it's absolutely go time. And there's no stopping this train. This train is going. And it's people like you that have always been there when I needed, hey, just give me a nugget or something. And the gracious, it's being vulnerable and gracious. And I think that is what I take away from everyone who's been so gracious to talk to me, and that we can get this out to others. So I appreciate you very much. And everyone who has been listening, just re-listen and take some notes, because I sure will. Thank you so much for being here, Christine.
My pleasure.